Blog Talk Radio.
Today, October 16, 2013. Use the dictionary. It's called Webster's. Well, the guy who invented the dictionary, as we know it, dictionary in the English language, Noah Webster, born on this date. If you remember when the great Irish humorist came to San Francisco, and when he came to America, they asked him, "Do you have anything to declare?" He says, "Yes, my genius." And of course, Oscar Wilde was one of the most controversial homosexual trials in England, where he had a lover named Lord Alfred Douglas, who was just a real scumbag. And of course, Douglas's father was the Marquess of Queensberry. You hear the term Marquess of Queensberry rules. It was Lord Alfred Douglas's father, and he was very homophobic, and he pressed charges at the time that England had laws on the books against homosexuality, nothing about lesbian. I guess it was inferred. And of course, Queen Victoria said women don't do these things. But and also later in 1950, the British government decided to legalize homosexuality. They didn't mention lesbianism. And it was the Wolfden Act. Lord Wolfden was the legal scholar who wrote up the new laws protecting sexual activity between consenting adults. Britain still restricted homosexual activity between its military and Royal Navy, of which Winston Churchill once said about homosexuality in the Royal Navy that it was rum, sodomy, and lash, whipping at the masthead. That's later changed also. But Oscar Wilde was tried, and he was sent to prison, and he wrote The Ballad of Reading Gaol, and which is a famous piece of literature. He was a great writer, great humorist. And then he died, I think, in France. He did come to San Francisco. Of course, I don't know what he did when he came here. Among the other birthdays today, the great Israeli patriot, who was one of the founders of modern Israel, David Ben-Gurion. Great playwright, another playwright, also of Irish ethnicity, Eugene O'Neill, one of the great liberal associate justices of the United States Supreme Court, William O. Douglas. Douglas had also been FDR's Securities and Exchange Commissioner, and he tried to enforce some after the 1929 stock market crash. We may be headed toward another one, so we'll see. Douglas tried to enforce the new FDR's regulations to try to protect the small and the stock market investor. Among the other birthdays today, another English woman, Angela Lansbury, with a great voice, and a great black conductor. He was conductor of the Los Angeles Philharmonic for 5 years. He was also married to the great mezzo-soprano Marilyn Horne. Henry Lewis was born on this day. And then another writer, great German writer, who wrote The Tin Drum, Günter Glass. Among the deaths today, and this is something people should be thinking about, Marie Antoinette was executed today. Now, one of the reasons that the French had their revolution was that their aristocrats and their clergy were abusing the peasants, and the peasants were overtaxed. The aristocrats would ride their horses through the street. If a peasant was in the way or his wagon was in the way, they were turned over or harassed. And we're seeing this very similar thing today with the bicycle, these yuppie bicyclists, that people are being run down, people are being killed, senior citizens especially. There's no apology or condolences from the so-called bicycle advocates. And you look at the demographics of these people, and a lot of them, with their arrogance, are actually these generally white yuppies who have an attitude. They have no concern for anybody else. And those of us who are familiar with history remember when people like that behave toward the lower classes, I hate to use that phrase, but other classes, that eventually people rise up and strike these people down. Excuse me. Another, in fact, the guy who's supposed to be responsible for the bicycle agenda, banning cars in Nazi-occupied Holland during World War II, this is this lawyer, Austrian, Arthur Sess Inquart. He was executed on this day, along with 10 other Nazi war criminals who were sentenced to death because of the trials at Nuremberg, and they were hanged. Great actor, he had a great voice. Leo DiCaprio was born on this day. Another Israeli, not born, died on this day. Another Israeli died on this day. The great general, One-Eyed Patch, he had fought for the British in World War II, Moshe Dayan. And then we had a Pakistani prime minister assassinated, Loqat Ali Khan. Great actor, Cornel Wilde. Died on this day also, and great musician, Art Blakey. In 1787, on this day, Washington took Yorktown, and the world began to be turned upside down. We also had the, if you know anything about dentistry, the first, the guy who invented ether for taking out, pulling your teeth and other things, putting in a denture, this was done in 1846 on this day. The first homeopathic medical college, I think it's a Hahnemann, was set up in Pennsylvania in 1848. And remember John Brown's Body? It's also a book referred to, or the name referred to, by famed author Jack Cashel. He's got another book out called If I Had a Son. It's an expose of the Trayvon Martin scam. And the other event today, the Confederacy decided to issue stamps. They must be worth quite a bit today. I haven't seen any. And then one of the biggest controversies that are still going on about birth control, Margaret Sanger, who also was reportedly a nurse that treated Adolf Hitler. We're still trying to track that down. She set up the first Planned Parenthood birth control clinic in New York. We are seeing San Francisco is in the grip of, and Bay Area is in the grip of another strike. I understand it's called BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit, and it affects a lot of people. And I understand that several other American cities, including Chicago, bans transit strikes. Well, there was a strike in Massachusetts when Calvin Coolidge was governor, and Calvin Coolidge said there is no right to strike against the public. And so here is a clip from his when he talked about that strike. And, of course, on this Blog Talk Radio segment, there is a picture of Coolidge, Governor Coolidge, with the Massachusetts militia. But here is Coolidge talking about public safety.
It is preeminently the province of government to protect the weak. The average citizen does not lead the life of independence that was his in former days, under a less complex order of society. When a family tilled the soil and produced its own support, it was independent. It may be infinitely better off now, but it is evident it needs a protection which before was not required. Let Massachusetts continue to regard with the gravest solicitude the well-being of her people. By prescribed law, by authorized publicity, by informed public opinion, let her continue to strive to provide that all conditions under which her citizens live are worthy of the highest state of man. Healthful housing, wholesome food, sanitary working conditions, reasonable hours, a fair wage for a fair day's work, opportunity full and free, justice, speedy and impartial and at a cost within the reach of all, are among the objects not only to be sought, but made absolutely certain and secure. Government is not, must not be, a cold, impersonal machine, but a human and more human agency, appealing to the reason, satisfying the heart, full of mercy, assisting the good, resisting the wrong, delivering the weak from any impositions of the powerful. This is not paternalism. It is not a servitude imposed from without, but the freedom of a righteous self-direction from within. Industry must be humanized, not destroyed. It must be the instrument not of selfishness, but of service. Change not the law, but the attitude of the mind. Let our citizens look not to the false prophet, but to the pilgrim. Let them fix their eyes on Plymouth Rock as well as Beacon Hill. The supreme choice must be not the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Our government belongs to the people. Our property belongs to the people. It is distributed. They own it. The taxes are paid by the people. They bear the burden. The benefits of government must accrue to the people, not to one class, but to all classes, to all the people. The functions, the power, the sovereignty of the government must be kept where they have been placed by the Constitution and laws of the people, not private will, but that public will, which speaks with a divine sanction, must prevail. There are strident voices urging resistance to law in the name of freedom. They are not seeking freedom for themselves. They have it. They are seeking to enslave others. Their works are evil. They know it. They must be resisted. The evil they represent must be overcome by the good others represent. Their ideas, which are wrong, for the most part imported, must be supplanted by ideas which are right. This can be done. The meaning of America is a power which cannot be overcome. Massachusetts must lead in teaching it. Prosecution of the criminal and education of the ignorant are the remedies. It is fundamental that freedom is not to be secured by disobedience to law. Even the freedom of the slave depended on the supremacy of the Constitution. There is no mystery about this. They who sin are the servants of sin. They who break the laws are the slaves of their own crime. It is not for the advantage of others that the citizen is abjured to obey the laws, but for his own advantage. That what he claims a right to do to others, that must he admit others have a right to do to him. His obedience is his own protection. He is not submitting himself to the dictates of others, but responding to the requirements of his own nature. Laws are not manufactured. They are not imposed. They are rules of action existing from everlasting to everlasting. He who resists them resists himself. He commits suicide. The nature of man requires sovereignty. Government must govern. To obey is life. To disobey is death. Organized government is the expression of the life of the Commonwealth. Into your hands is entrusted the grave responsibility of its protection and perpetuation.
That was Calvin Coolidge. He wasn't very silent. Now, the budget has been a concern to everybody and, of course, to various countries and international bankers and financiers. This is what Calvin Coolidge said about the relevance of our national budget.
country needs every ounce of its energy to restore itself. The costs of government are all assessed upon the people. This means that the farmer is doomed to provide a certain amount of money out of the sale of his produce, no matter how low the price, to pay his taxes. The manufacturer, the professional man, the clerk must do the same from their income. The wage earner, often at a higher rate when compared with his earning, makes his contribution, perhaps not directly, but indirectly, in the advanced cost of everything he buys. The expenses of the government reach everybody. Taxes take from everyone a part of his earnings and force everyone to work for a certain part of his time for the government. When we come to realize that the yearly expenses of the governments of this country, the stupendous sum of about $7,500,000,000, we get $700,000,000 is needed by the national government and the remainder by local governments. Such a sum is difficult to comprehend. It represents all the pay of 5 million wage earners receiving $5 a day, working 300 days in the year. If the government should add $100,000,000 of expense, it would represent 4 days more work of these wage earners. These are some of the reasons why I want to cut down public expense. I want the people of America to be able to work less for the government and more for themselves. I want them to have the rewards of their own industry. This is the chief meaning of freedom. Until we can reestablish a condition under which the earnings of the people can be kept by the people, we are bound to suffer a very severe and distinct curtailment of our liberty. These results are not fanciful. They are not imaginary. They are grimly actual and real, reaching into every household in the land. They take from each home annually an average of over $300, and taxes must be paid. They are not a voluntary contribution to be met out of surplus earnings. They are a stern necessity. They come first. It is only out of what is left after they are paid that the necessities of food, clothing and shelter can be provided, and the comforts of home secured, are the yearnings of the soul for a broader and more abundant life gratified. When the government effects a new economy, it grants everybody a life pension with which to raise the standard of existence. It increases the value of everybody's property and raises the scale of everybody's wages. One of the greatest favors that can be bestowed upon the American people is economy in government.
That was Calvin Coolidge, and of course he wasn't so silent then. Now, one of the things that he did mention in an earlier radio broadcast was about the food being safe food. Now, this is a public policy question. This is a new series we're adding. Do you buy chicken? You know, we hear the term, the sky is falling by Chicken Little. Well, it may be falling, but so are people's health with all these disease fowl that is being processed and being sold under private labels as well as corporate labels like Foster Farms, Zaki, Tyson, Clinton Bird, Purdue. There's several other companies, I believe one processor in Delaware, and we don't know anything about the kosher chickens. But the question is, think about this. Do you buy chicken? Do you eat chicken in restaurants? Do you have any idea where it comes from? Do you know who processes the chicken the major American supermarkets sell? We also get chicken from Canada. We don't know what they're doing. Now, here's the public policy question. Should grocery stores which private label their fowl products FOWL, should these grocery stores and these chains be required to fully identify and label the source of that chicken or that fowl and when that fowl was processed? You know, this is for public safety, and we have the Foster Farms has been damaged by this. We don't know the extent of it, and as well as Costco, the big discount chain. Now, another issue, the radical left and the media morons didn't do their research, and it turns out that in 1972, during the Nixon administration, that major American landmarks, such as the Statue of Liberty, Yosemite National Park, Yellowstone National Park, was designated World Heritage Sites. Now, nobody, none of the media people got into this and say, well, what does this mean? Well, this term came up, was cooked up by the UNESCO, United Nations, an increasingly controversial organization headquartered in New York. This is an aside. We'll talk about that later. But did you know that UNESCO has jurisdiction over these sites? And this is how they did it. This is the accusation that because these are World Heritage Sites, or so-called, that if they're endangered and if people are going in there hunting, killing animals, damaging the fauna, that sort of thing, that the UN can send in, can protect these sites because they're World Heritage. They belong under the jurisdiction of the United Nations. And so it could well be that blue-helmeted United Nations types, some people call them thugs because they've raped children in Haiti and other places. These people could come into America and assert their jurisdiction over our and cast aside or pee on our sovereignty. This is the issue. So, in other words, that we may be funding some of these parks, but we don't have jurisdiction over them because they're World Heritage Sites. That's the accusation. Now, another thing that's happened, we hear that Japanese cars, the Toyota, the Honda, are the most popular cars for car thieves to steal. Well, there may be a third car, and that's the Isuzu Amigo. The Amigo was designed as a Jeep-type SUV, and they were very popular, but they're no longer made. Isuzu is probably the oldest Japanese car maker. During the 30s, they made tanks for the Japanese Army. But then they got into cars. Now, a senior citizen in San Francisco had his Isuzu. It was an older one in 1998. It was stolen over Labor Day weekend. On the same block, another car was stolen. And according to his insurance agent, over eight cars were stolen that weekend just in one district. The senior citizen, who was partially disabled, went out and bought another Isuzu Amigo, a 1999 silver gray one. And within 4 days, that car was stolen. Now, what's interesting, he had a yellow club on his steering wheel. His adjuster in the case said, did you know that even though you had the club, that they can cut the steering wheel? So I assume that's, I haven't heard, but I assume the senior citizen was a victim of having his steering wheel cut even though he had the yellow club. He told me, I understand he paid over $25 for that club. So, and also, if you come to San Francisco, we're going to have a series of the worst of San Francisco. Insurance industry, they don't publicize this, is that because San Francisco and other cities don't have a lot of garages for cars, there's a lot of car theft. So what you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. And so I keep telling people, you've got to protect yourself, not only from the thugs on the street, but from car thieves. And also, don't invite theft by leaving stuff on your seat or CDs or whatever. So we will end with our diesel series. We'll be back Friday, and we'll get more into some of these other issues regarding your safety and food safety and some of the other public, what I consider of importance, public policy issues. We need to start thinking about these things. So in with our usual politics and poker, and we hope to get this problem resolved. So here is our send-off politics and poker. I guess that's what they played over this weekend in Washington. I don't know who won.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what do you got?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
The left would like that.
We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and carve and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trade.
Well, we'll see what they traded. Anyway, we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Hopefully, there'll be no problems. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night. Stay safe.